So dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing each one of us here this morning to hear about Mary's story, to hear and teach on Mary. Mary was available and open to serve you, as our study guide pointed out. She saw herself as a humble servant of God, and she was open to be used by you in any way that you wanted to use her. And as we know from her story, it involved obedience in some very difficult situations. But Mary exemplified that for us and just provides us with a beautiful example of how to be available to God, how to be willing to serve Him, and how to do it with humility and love and compassion. So I thank you for bringing us all here this morning so we can learn from Mary's story. And I thank you for Anne and her giftedness as a teacher. And I ask that we have fruitful discussions in our small group as we talk about what we learned from Mary's story. And I ask all these things in your son's name. So this is the Magnificat, which is found in Luke, first chapter of Luke. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever."
Walking along the hills of Nazareth? Was she home washing clothes or fixing a meal? Did Mary have any sense at all what was about to happen to her? What was Mary doing when Gabriel came and told her she'd soon be pregnant by the Holy Spirit with a much anticipated Messiah? Can we even imagine? We have so much to learn from this story and the person of Mary. What do we already know about Mary? Well, I think traditionally, I don't know much about this, but I think traditionally Catholics have given too much attention to Mary. Maybe as Protestants, we haven't given enough. I know I haven't focused on her basically because I didn't want to be like those that what I thought looked like. They were giving too much attention to her and not to her son. Partially, this is true. In March, she was on the cover of Time magazine. And at that time, there was a movement to make her co-redeemer with Jesus. That was my reaction. She's not perfect. She's not our redeemer. She's not God. So I reacted, and I think a lot of us reacted, and maybe she's been pushed too much in the background. Most of us know far more about what we don't believe about her. Yes, she did have other children. No, she wasn't always a virgin. No, she wasn't perfect. So why do we even talk about her? Because the real Mary leads us to Jesus. We can embrace her because she was human with real struggles just like us. Yet she models for us within those struggles a humble obedience that doesn't draw attention to her, but points to Jesus and glorifies God. So what happens? Well, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. What does he tell her? We've heard this probably our whole lives. And we really think about what he tells her. You're going to have a baby. Okay. God has chosen you to be the mother of a son. Okay, that's pretty normal. But this is not going to be just any son, like a Reuben or a Benjamin. But he is going to be the the Son of God, the much-anticipated Messiah. This is called the Annunciation. And the Annunciation is, just in case you want to impress anybody, the angelic announcement to Mary that she would give birth to the Messiah. Now, what an announcement to this young girl. This is incredible, because God now is coming to us in the form of a baby. What we want to look at is Mary's response to the message of the angel. And I want you guys to ask yourselves just today and in your small, no, the rest of your lives, not just today, how are we like her? And if not, how can we be more like her? So she has not yet met the earthly person of Christ, but she receives a message about him. It is basically the gospel message describing who Jesus is and what he will do. And really, what should be on the cover of Time magazine is not that co-redeemer stuff, but her response at this time. But responses like hers never make the headlines. She's been told by an angel that she will be pregnant out of wedlock. The Annunciation was a shock to Mary, as much for social reasons as for theological reasons. At this time, Mary was probably 14 years old. I think what my kids were like at 14. About the Jewish maid. They were more mature back then. She was probably 14 years old, and she was very poor. Okay, how do we know she was poor? Well, the evidence of her place on the socioeconomic ladder can be seen when Mary and Joseph go to the temple to have Jesus circumcised. You presented gifts according to how much money you had. So if you were the poorest of the poor, you simply offered up two birds. And the irony is, this is what the family of Jesus only had to offer, were the two birds. And so here they are going to the temple. Mary is a peasant, and she's going to face huge disgrace over this news. And yet, this disgraced, pregnant, unwed peasant girl is who God uses to usher the Messiah into the world. And I love it. We see God's economy and who he uses for his purposes. Maybe he can use us. What makes her great? Status? She has none. Money? She has none. Experience? She's too young to have any experience. Her response, so let's talk about, there's several stages to her response that we can learn from. What does Mary do first as we read and move? She thinks. The word is called dilogistico, which means to use logic to reason with intensity. I made my husband look it up this morning, and he said, well, it's to ponder. Stir over and really concentrate on. She seeks understanding, which makes sense, because this birth does not fit with her Jewish background. This means a human being would be divine. The idea that the God of Mount Sinai is going to come and be a little baby, this felt impossible to her. The creator of the universe is coming into a girl's womb to be born as a human being through her. So she thinks about it, and she asks a very fair question. How will this be, since I am a virgin? Oh, and by the way, Leslie Castle told me to wear this because it looks virginal. I want to dress the part. As is Leslie. So how will this be, since I am a virgin? Well, it's a good question. This shows a willingness for her to be honest about her questions. Our faith can stand up to the hard questions because Christianity is true. If she had never expressed a doubt, the angel might not have ever spoken one of the greatest statements in the Bible. And I love this. Nothing will be impossible with God. People for centuries, forever, will be helped by these words. These words were also spoken to Sarah in her questioning. These words should answer any and all of our questions. So, she thinks, she asks a question, and then, after this answer, this is the answer, what does she do? She surrenders. And she surrenders completely. With really bizarre news, with a bizarre task. She surrenders completely, because what is she basing it on? Nothing will be impossible. So after she hears that, she says, okay, I can do this. This is a pretty good argument. Do you believe this, Mary? Yes. Well, if there's a God who created the world, who delivered your people, protected them for centuries. Why wouldn't he do this? We each need to remember what God has done in our past and in the past of others, and so much in the Bible. And then we get our answer. Nothing is impossible with God. I would say this answer, nothing will be impossible with God, is like the game Jeopardy, where they give you just the answer and the contestants have to come up with the questions. Here is our answer to any of our questions. Nothing will be impossible with God. So what are your questions? That's your answer, but what is your question? How can I make it through this? Lord, will you be with me? Is this gonna work out? All of the questions that we have every day, we have our answer right here. So Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I love that, may it be. We need to remember that Mary's may it be came months before her I do to Joseph. To have a child outside of wedlock was such a disgrace. They would be shunned. She could even be stoned. They would forever be second-class citizens. Who would believe them? Can you imagine Joseph's friends? You could probably say, hey, she cheated on you. Leave her. She's a tramp. She's pregnant. And you say, you're not the father. Why are you going to stay with her? Can you imagine Joseph trying to explain this to his buddies? Okay, you guys don't get it. Immaculate conception. By the Holy Spirit, the angels told us, oh yeah, the baby will be God. Okay. And I thought, Joseph was willing to stand up for what he knew was true, although it sounded ridiculous. And I thought, are we willing to sound foolish for our faith? So what do they say is recorded is in Matthew 1:24. Joseph did exactly what the Lord commanded. There may it be was very expensive. They knew somewhat what this obedience was going to cost them. So all they knew at this time was, we're going to be embarrassed, it's going to ruin our reputation. They didn't have the entire picture, and yet they still said yes. Mary didn't know she would one day stand and watch her son tortured and crucified. And we all know as mothers, we'd much rather suffer than watch our children suffer. We never know what our cost will be. But Jesus himself tells us, count the cost of discipleship. It can be expensive. Many people are willing to give up things, but they won't give up the right to determine what those things are. They say, okay, I'll give this up, but not this. So they become a Christian. Okay, I'll go to church on Sunday, but don't touch my kids. We all have our conditions. This keeps them on the throne of their life. When God came to Abraham and he said, get out of the Chaldeans and follow me. Where you are going, I'll show you. I'm not going to tell you now, but I just want you to follow me. God wanted Abraham to give up the right to determine the best way for him to live. When I talked about my own public speaking, I was not may it be. I was not like Mary. I told the Lord, I'll do this and I'll do that, but I'm not going to do the public speaking. I'm sure he was impressed with that. So what's he make me do? So who was putting herself right on the throne? I was. We so often act like his insult. Here's my ideas, God, for how you'll use me. This is not a may it be. This is, I want to choose. If we really want Jesus in the middle of our lives, we have to obey him unconditionally. We miss out on seeing the Spirit's power when we refuse to live by faith. And when we've been talking about this, I love this because Annette came up to me Sunday at church and she said, when we talked about we need to be obedient, she goes, they asked me to give an announcement in church and I did. I thought, well, who would have known you were the least bit nervous? She was fabulous. She did such a good job, and she did the beautiful thing about that. It was totally out of obedience. It was beyond her comfort level. And she just said, God wants me to do this. I'm going to do this. As Mary learned in Jesus' short life here, he went from being her son to being her Lord. Sometimes we act like his mother telling him what to do with our own lives. Can we say like Mary, I don't know all that you're going to ask me, Lord, but I'll do whatever you say, whether I like it or not, and I'll accept patiently whatever you send in my life. We simply cannot know ahead of time what God will be asking us to do and persevere through. I'm sure especially those of us that are maybe a little older, we could all give examples of things that God allowed in our life that we never expected, and we're pretty sure that'll never happen to me. Or I can throw enough money at it to make sure it doesn't happen to me, or I can work hard enough, or I can know the right people. And he's going, you're not in control of all that. And they're like, we can't control all those things. And yet, in those things that he allowed that were so unexpected, we saw him work through us and in us during those times. This is a good question in your group. What was unexpected in your life, and how did God use it? He can use it once we climb off the throne. I was talking to a friend on Monday that's so fun. I've known her for 4 years before we were both married. And so we had a great talk, and we could even tell each other, well, wait, you never thought this would happen to you. And we could encourage each other. Never thought I'd get through that. And we've gotten through it all only with the Lord's help. It was fun to encourage each other. What were the unexpected things? And how did God use them? So how can we practice her may it be's? How are your may it be's? Don't just wait for the big surrender. Start today with one yes at a time. It looks like Mary kept on saying yes to whatever God was doing in her life. She said, yes, I'll go to Bethlehem with my husband on a donkey, even though I'm very pregnant. Yes, I'll settle for a stable. Yes, I'll agree to let all those grungy shepherds see my baby. Much later, she said, yes, I'll let my son leave home to be an itinerant preacher. And yes, I'll be with him no matter what, even at the foot of the cross. The life of Mary shows the great things. Important things always begin with someone saying yes to God and then moving along one yes at a time. There will be sacrifices and there are surprises when we choose to say yes to God. Sacrifices of our time, which is a little too precious to us. I know it's too precious to me. Sacrifices of our plans and sometimes sacrifices of our dearly held dreams. It could be dreams for ourselves. Live in a culture that says, no, demand your rights. Take care of yourself. You're number one. You deserve more. Don't say yes to this. This is so counter to what Mary said. May it be, I am your humble servant. So a good question in your group, what can you say yes to more and more? If you're married or if you have kids, there's lots of opportunities to say yes to God in humility. Start practicing. So then after Mary thinks, she answers questions. She gets that incredible answer that answers all of her questions. She surrenders completely. And then what does she do? I love this part. I think as women, we get this better than men do. She goes to Elizabeth. Elizabeth was her cousin, married to Zechariah, and she was pregnant with John the Baptist. Luke 1:39 says, Mary hurried to Elizabeth. This is so instructional for each one of us. As women, we seek to get this. We need Christian fellowship so much to walk this journey of obedience. We need each other, but we need others that are going to encourage us to do the right thing. This is God's plan, and God uses us in each other's lives. And that's exactly what our small groups are all about. Mary does not appear to understand it all until she goes to another believing sister, and they talk together, they worship together. And yes, we all need to think intensely and doubt openly and eventually surrender completely. But it won't be enough to simply do it alone without your trusted Christian friends. I love this picture of Mary going to Elizabeth. I just think that's the sweetest face. But this next picture, I want you to really notice what Elizabeth is doing. What is Elizabeth's pregnant? What is she doing? She's totally celebrating for Mary. She could have made it easily about her. She suspended her need to talk for the sake of her friend. She is focusing on Mary's pregnancy, and that's all she's focusing on. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. We so need to pray for God's wisdom when we are counseling our friends. We cannot rely on our own wisdom. When you're done, if you want to read again in here, I think what is so incredible, what Elizabeth talks about right here, Elizabeth talks about the Trinity. And you say, how does she know about the Trinity? Well, it says she's filled with the Holy Spirit. She says, I'm so blessed to know you, the mother of my Lord. She is identifying the baby in the womb as her Lord. The Lord has sent this. So she's saying the Lord in heaven and the Lord in Mary. So here at this time before, as soon as Mary finds out, we get the picture of the Trinity. So after she goes to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth looks like a wonderful friend, isn't she? She's so excited. She's celebrating with Mary. So Elizabeth points her to God. She talks about the Trinity. What does Mary do after this? She breaks into song. I love this. She breaks into song. It's what Sherry read, the Magnificat. She begins to worship and adore God with all her heart. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our friends broke into song after being do they go away discouraged, or do they go away singing praises about God? Do your friends feel encouraged and listen to you after being with you? Do they walk away desiring to trust God more? Do you listen more than you talk? I just never want to forget that picture. When someone is talking, ask yourself, am I really listening, or am I just waiting to talk? I have to ask myself that all the time. When somebody's talking, my husband jump rope game. The minute she can, she's going to jump in. And we do that when people are talking. So the minute she takes a breath, I'm going to tell my story. I have a great picture of this. When we were trying to have a second child, we already had my daughter, praise God, that I went through two miscarriages and a stillbirth. And then I went to a specialist, and the specialist says, well, before we do anything, let's find out what's wrong with you. Let's see if you're pregnant again. And I thought, I don't want to be pregnant again until I find out what's wrong with me. I was so scared. So he calls me. Another child, but I was so scared. Well, I went to a good friend of mine, maybe you know her, Karen Wilson, in the neighborhood, and I went over crying to her. What's wrong with you? I'm crying. My son doesn't like the story, but I was so happy. And I said, I'm so scared. I can't go through another loss. I want to find out what's wrong with Robin. And she sat me down and said, I can't promise you you're going to keep this baby, but I promise you God's going to be with you. And she said, he was going to a spot, and all she did was pray for him. She never talked about her own pregnancy. She never she had a pregnancy. She focused on me. I couldn't even pray for myself. She prayed for me and she called me. And she didn't promise me anything that she wasn't sure of, but she could promise me God's promises. He allowed this to happen. He could use it. You might hang on to this baby. You might not, but we're going to get through this. I went away a different person, and she prayed for me, and it was beautiful, and praise God. That kid is 27 now. So my question is, so Karen at that time was my Elizabeth, just like that picture. Who has been your Elizabeth? How can you be more of an Elizabeth where you're so focused on the other person and point them to God? Even though we can learn so much from Mary, she would want it all to point to Jesus, her Lord, for he is the true treasure. That's what this is about. Christ is the one we should ponder and adore. Mary exemplified a heart of love that followed Christ to the cross and died to itself so that we might live with him. She died to herself. And I heard one quote, and I was trying to find it, but Jesus was walking up Calvary, and she goes to him, and he says, I'm doing a new thing. And we don't get that, but when we die to ourselves, he does a new work in us. And that's the beautiful thing. When we surrender to God, he does a new Mary, what would she want her magazine cover to say? Look at who Jesus is and what he did for you. She would say, don't look at me. And she would say, for heaven's sakes, don't ever consider me being a redeemer. My question is, if you were on the front of Time Magazine, what would your quote be? What do you want it to be? If you were person of the year, how would you want to be quoted? We should all want to live our lives like hers, not only where Jesus was birthed, but also a throne from which he rules and reigns. I wonder what God could do through you and me if we stopped questioning his plan, stopped trying to understand everything, and we simply said yes. And not yes as a martyr, or not yes, aren't I a great Christian, but with Mary's attitude of humble obedience. And I love this quote. May not always be able to trace his hand. We may not know what he's doing, but we can always trace his heart. If you're going through a hard time, list his characters. He is loving, he is faithful, he is right, his precepts are true. You can list 100 of those. You may not always understand what he's doing, but you can always understand his character and how much he loves us. May it be. May it be. I'm so much, oh, yes, but I want this, da, da, da. And I just go, may it be. Where can you practice the little yeses? And there's always the big yeses, too. So you all know this song, but I think this song is so beautiful. About Mary, did you know? One more?
Yeah, maybe try one more. Did you press anything?
Yeah.
Maybe try to press play or something.
It's moving.
Oh, it's going.
Okay. Oh, I know. Hang on.
Read the lyrics, yeah. That was the whole thing.
Karina will sing it for you.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing I was saying, that the computer music wasn't working. So I didn't, but I didn't know there was song in her music and her thing. I wonder if it's related. No, not, it never worked. The computer music wasn't working. I didn't.
Did you know that you're baby boy?
Hi, ladies. Okay, I don't know about you guys, but isn't that powerful for those of us who are moms to think that she held God in her hand? It's overwhelming. And the other part is that we are so grateful that he's our Savior too. Thank you, Anne. That was amazing, truly amazing. We also want to thank today, Rachel did a terrific job with coffee. I heard at least two ladies say it was the best coffee. And Arlene's trip for snacks, those eggs were great. Thank you so much. So Anne talked about obedience, and I am not a public speaker, and so